Today we're starting a new series, but actually it's not a new series because it's part two of the series that I preached in the fall. 8 weeks we preached in the fall. In the fall I preached a series on Joseph, and we only got to half of Joseph's story because we talked about Joseph's dark years, the prison years, the bad years. Well, this new series we're going to talk about Joseph and the good life. Paul says this, I know how to live through dark years and I know how to live through good years. You know, you have to know how to live. Some people just don't know how to live. And how do we know how to live if nobody teaches us? If our parents didn't know how to live, we probably don't know how to live. And so we're going to talk about how to live a good life. Because there will be days when you will have months and years of good life. What do you do with it? A lot of people get bored and they don't know what to do with themselves. And they destroy themselves in a good life. They made it through the dark years. They survived. They were survivor. But then the good life came. They made it through abusive relationship. And then a good man, a good woman came and they don't know what to do. They're bored to death. They don't know what to do with good life. And so we're going to talk about good life. But I also know there's people who are here for the first time. Or people who came for in the last couple of weeks. And they don't know. It's like they're starting a series, okay? What's the Stranger Things? And season three. Is there a season three? Not yet, okay. So season two. It's like starting on season two, okay? And you're like, what happened? Well, I want to give you a quick preview of what happened. And then I'll go into my point. And my point and my main topic today is jump into the elevator. That's my message. Jump into the elevator. All right? All right, let's get to work. Now, who was Joseph? Joseph was born about 3,500 years ago. He lived about 3,500 years ago. He was born to a wealthy and famous Israeli family. You know this family. You know Abraham? That was his great-grandfather. You know Isaac? That was his grandfather. You know Jacob? That was Joseph's father. So Joseph grew up in a family, a famous family, Jewish family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then there's Joseph. Joseph was number 10. He had 11 brothers and one sister. He was one of the youngest brother. Probably he was the 10th brother in the family. God has chosen this family on earth to be his representatives to the nations of the earth. God chose Abraham and his family to be his representatives on the earth. He wanted to bless the earth through this family. If you remember, God said to Abraham, and I will bless you and make your name great, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. When God blesses you, it's not just for you. When God blesses you, it's not just for you. Otherwise, you become Dead Sea, and greed chokes life out of you. Greedy people don't enjoy life. Greedy people, bitter people, angry people, unforgiving people, jealous people, they don't enjoy life. It's they close the loop on themselves. They build walls around themselves. So God says, I will bless you and make your name great. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Okay, so this is an awesome family. And you think that they would be holy and righteous family. But they're not. They're the most messed up family in the Bible. If I only told you what they did. They're the most messed up family. You think your family is bad? Not as bad as Joseph's family. Joseph's father has four wives. They're all competing for his attention. They all have their own children and children are fighting between themselves. You think you got a problem with just one spouse? He had four, all fighting for his attention. The three were not loved. Only one was loved, one, and the loved one cannot have any children. So they're fighting for children. And it's just messed up. One of Joseph's oldest brothers goes and sleeps with one of his father's wives. Joseph's brothers get together and attack a city and burn it down. Because there was a reason, of course, but it was a messed up family. His father, Jacob, was a liar and a conniver, right? See, we like to put these people on a pedestal and say they were holy and we can never attain it. But you know, Bible says he who's a New Testament prophet is greater than the Old Testament, any Old Testament. Okay? And so Joseph grows up in this messed up family. to add to the problem of family dysfunction, here's what happens. The father, Jacob, loves Joseph above all the other brothers. The father treats him with favor above all the brothers and puts a robe of many colors on Joseph. Makes the brothers hate him even more. They want to kill this kid. He's young, so they bully him. And add to the injury, he's gifted. This teenager, Joseph, is very talented. And he's having dreams. And they seem to be weird dreams. Because in those dreams, his brothers bow down and worship him. And instead of keeping it to himself, instead of saying humble and maybe telling it to his dad, "Dad, what do you think that means?" He's being bullied, I think, by his brothers. So he says, "Hey, brothers, yeah, you can bully me now, but someday you're gonna bow down and worship me. I had a dream." And then he had another dream and he told them, and it was the sun, moon, and the stars bowing down to him and worshiping him. And even his father rebuked him. He said, "What are you saying? Your mom and I will worship you." So Joseph is a cocky little punk who thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. And his brothers get so fed up with him that one day they just can't help themselves. They take him and throw him in a well that has no water, deep well that has no water. And you know, Joseph doesn't die there. So they're arguing among themselves. The 11 brothers are arguing, "Should we kill him? Should we not? Should we kill him? Should we not?" And finally somebody says, "Let's just sell him." In that time, slavery was normal, and it wasn't racial. It was just a brother could sell a brother into slavery. His own blood. Half-brothers. They were half-brothers. And they decide to sell him. So they see Ishmaelites coming, and they're going to Egypt, these caravans, and they sell him. And they said, "How much would you give us for him?" And they said, "If you give us, we'll give you 20 pieces of silver." And so they sell Joseph into slavery. As when they brought him to Egypt, they put him on a market. Like an animal. Bidding war. Let me see who's giving me more money. And I think Joseph was a good slave. Strong, young. And so the only people that could afford that kind of a guy was Potiphar. Who was Potiphar? He was director of secret service to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's who Potiphar was. He was famous. He was rich. He was the bodyguard. Like secret service today, protect President Donald Trump and his family. Well, in those days, that's what Potiphar was, except he was director of all the Secret Service agent. Pharaoh respected this guy. He could have even been a prince of Egypt, because not just anybody could be in charge for the life of Pharaoh. And so Joseph is put in a house, and Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and made him prosper as a slave. He started probably at the bottom washing bathrooms and cleaning the stalls from the animals. But God blessed him and he rose up in a short period of time and became a manager. A teenage boy became a manager of the whole property, the whole little empire of Potiphar, the director of secret service. And Potiphar gave him everything. He said, "Everything is here is yours except my wife. She's my trophy wife. You can't have her. Okay, everything else is mine." But Potiphar's wife was not a good woman. She was a little evil. She had a lust problem. Her husband was probably gone a lot on official duties, maybe even older man. And so she was lonely at home, and she saw that Joseph was good looking and well built. That's what Bible says. His mother was also, it says she was beautiful and well built. So it's the Bible, so don't hate the messenger. And so she says to him, "Sleep with me. Nobody will know." And Joseph refuses, and she keeps bothering him. And one point, she finds him in the room, and she closes the door behind herself, and she jumps on him and says, "Sleep with me." And he says, "No, I can't. I can't do this to God, and I can't do this to my master. I can't do this to God, and I can't do this to my master. And you are his wife, and I can't do this." So he tries to escape. She grabs his coat, and he escapes without his probably cloak or whatever he was wearing. She was full of wrath and anger, yelled rape. She falsely accuses him of rape, and Potiphar comes home. He puts shackles on Joseph's ankles and his wrist and drags him to the prison. Now Potiphar could have killed in regular situation, but I don't think Potiphar believed his wife. I think he knew she was a easy woman, or I don't know, loose woman, or All right. And so Potiphar doesn't kill Joseph, but puts him in prison. And for the next so many years, 13 years in total, from slave to prisoner, 13 years, the best years of his life is spent in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison. Through the darkest years of his life, the Lord was with him. See, the Lord never abandons us. See, a lot of people think that if I become a Christian and I'll follow God, I will never go through these situations. I'll never get falsely accused. They'll never put me in prison, but that's not true. If you follow God, all the things that happen to other people might happen to you. The thing is that God will be with you in it, and you will overcome it. And you will overcome it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. God never leaves us in the darkness for too long. This is how Joseph feels. It tells us in Psalm 16:10, it tells us this: "For you will not leave my soul among the dead." That's how Joseph felt. He felt like he's among the dead. But notice, he never counted himself as dead. You won't leave me among the dead. I'm not dead. I want to live, God. I'm among the dead, but I want to live. Or allow your Holy One to rot in grave. That also applies to Jesus and to David and to Joseph. And it applies to you. That maybe you feel like your soul is among the dead right now. Maybe you feel like life is just not what it should be. Not what God promised you. But you have to confess that you will not leave my soul among the dead. Maybe your soul feels so out of battery that you feel like, I just can't do it anymore. You got to declare, you will not leave my soul in this condition. You will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in grave. I'm alive. Live people don't live in graves, but when they end up in a grave, they will come out. God will lead us out. You will not allow your Holy One. I am. You are His Holy One. Not because of my holiness or your holiness, but because the holiness that was applied to you through belief in Jesus Christ. His holiness became your holiness and your sin became His sin. Amen. Or allow your Holy One. I feel the presence of God in this place. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. He will not allow it. He will not allow it. No matter where you are today, God is not going to allow you to die there. The best is yet to come. As a believer, it's always the best is yet to come. And even if you die, the best is still yet to come. We know it. And so we live in this hope. We live in this hope, the best. God loves, listen to me, to turn disasters into destiny. God is a God of destiny, and He loves turning things the devil meant for evil. He loves to turn it for your good. He loves to turn it for your good. Now, when Joseph was about 30 years old, that's 13 years in prison or a slave together. He's about 30 years old, forgotten in a dark, stinky prison. Forgotten. Pharaoh has a dream. Actually, he has two dreams. And these dreams disturb him. He has these dreams on his birthday. He has these dreams on his birthday and they bother him. How many of you know kings love to throw a big party for their birthdays? You should too. You should throw yourself a party. Well, nobody will throw me a party. You throw yourself a party and invite people, right? People are so antisocial these days. We're so on the phones. But if you invite them, they'll come. If you want to build relationships in the church, you have to reach out, because we have a whole bunch of antisocial people too. Church, world, same. You want relationships, reach out. Join a life group, okay? And so Pharaoh has two dreams on his birthday, and these dreams disturb him. So he, being a man of wealth, the most powerful man on the earth at that time, the superpower, Egypt was a superpower of that time, he gathers scientists, psychologists, he gathers wizards and wise men. He gathers them all and says, "Here's my dream. Tell me what it means." And the Bible says none of them could interpret the dream. And you could have said, Pharaoh, why don't you wait till tomorrow? Just celebrate your birthday. But how many of you know sometimes you feel anxiety and you got to know now. Otherwise, it won't leave you. The stress, anxious. You're like, what is that? Well, what did he dream? I'll tell you in a second. But he has these, and none of his wise men could tell him what that means. And here's a little clue. His wise men was able to tell him what his soulish dream means. They were not able to tell him what the dream of God means. Listen to me. When God gives a dream, that dream can only be interpreted by a man or a woman of God. It cannot be interpreted by a psychologist or some wise person. You can't go online and say, what does this mean? When a dream is from God, must be interpreted by the man or woman of God who has the Spirit of God. What is the dream? Well, Pharaoh has the first dream. Same night, one dream. He sees a meadow, beautiful green meadow, right on the shore of Egyptian River Nile. And he sees the seven cows just grazing, just eating and enjoying themselves. And suddenly, out of nowhere, the next scene comes. Seven ugly, skinny, skeleton-looking cows come out of the water, I think, and they attack the healthy cows. And they start tearing their flesh and eating them. Piece by piece, piece by piece. And before you know it, everything. They ate up everything, bones and blood and everything. It was a little gory, I'm sure. And the cows, the skinny, skeleton-looking cows did not gain weight from eating. They were still skinny. And Pharaoh woke up, probably in cold sweat. But he goes back to sleep and he sees another dream, and he sees seven plump, beautiful-looking heads of grain. For millennials, what does head of grains do? You make bread from grain. Okay, right? Love you guys. God is going to use our millennials for the glory. Their turn is now. Your turn. Remember, you'll never be this age again. So take advantage. And so he sees these beautiful golden swiveling on their stems, the heads of grain. And suddenly, seven ugly, skinny, empty, dried up heads of grain come out and devour the good ones and stay skinny. And Pharaoh woke up again. None of his wise men could interpret the dream. Pharaoh was getting impatient, he was getting mad, and suddenly his bartender remembered that 2 years ago when he was in prison, he met a guy, a Hebrew slave, a prisoner, who had the gift of interpreting dreams, and he interpreted the dream. So he says, Pharaoh, I know a guy, Hebrew slave, he's not of our people, not our race, and you know, Egyptians, they thought of themselves as the best, and everybody else is, you know, the rest. So Hebrew in that day was like, I don't know, like a gypsy maybe in our day. You know, he's just a gypsy or whatever. I'm not being insensitive to race here a little bit. Okay, thank you. All right. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. And it was a really racial society, more than so even today. And so Pharaoh summons Joseph. He says, go bring him. And so Joseph is sitting in prison in a dark cell. His hair hasn't been cut. His beard hasn't been shaved. They grabbed him by his arms and drag him out, and they start washing him. He doesn't know what's happening. He's like, what's going on? They're saying to him, you're going to go before the Pharaoh. What? I've spent years in here, and I didn't even know how much time I had to serve. Imagine sitting in prison with no number of years. When you have hope that in 3 years I'll get out, well, at least you have hope. But he's sitting there indefinitely. He doesn't know what's happening. He's praying to God, and God seems not to be listening to him. And they drag him out. They wash him. They shave him. Because Egyptians would shave, and Canaanites or Hebrews, they would keep their beards. But Egyptians would shave clean. So they clean him and drag him in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, are you Joseph? He says, yes. And Pharaoh says, can you interpret my dream? I heard you can. And Joseph says, I can't, but God can. And notice the difference between a 17-year-old kid who was bragging about his gifts and how special he was, now saying, no, I can't. I can't do nothing, but Christ in me can. But God in me can. The Spirit of God in me can. I can't do it, but you, God, can do it. And so Pharaoh tells him his dreams, and Joseph says, yes, I know what it means. And here, Joseph is operating out of a gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge. How do you know 7 years, seven cows and seven heads of grain are 7 years? Why not 7 days? Why not 7 months? Why not 7 weeks? How do you know? When you have a Spirit of God in you, and you do, listen to me, if you're a believer, if you put your faith in Christ, God's Spirit came and is now living in your spirit. But you have two options. You can live by the Spirit that's in you, it's about here, or you can live by your mind and your soul. You can be emotional and soulish and follow the thoughts that come to your head, or you can live by the Spirit. And Spirit lives only by the Word of God. A man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that's coming out of the mouth of God. And this is His Word, and this is what you need to feed your spirit. And so Joseph says, it's 7 years. Your dreams are the same. And here's what he says. Let me read it to you. Don't put it on the screen, media team. The famine will be so severe that even the memory, 7 years, he says, it's going to be good years. 7 years, the nation will prosper. 7 years, there will be so much grain, you won't know what to do with. But he says, after 7 years comes the famine years. And the famine is going to be so severe that it will destroy the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh understood his economy is going to go to nothing. See, if Pharaoh lived today, and we have presidents today, he would say, well, in 7 years I won't be here. So I'm going to just enjoy and brag about the good years, but I'm going to avoid, let the next guy deal with the 7 years in the future. But Pharaoh was a king, so he would be a king for life, and that means he would be. And Pharaoh, why would you believe a Jewish slave? Why would you believe a Hebrew slave? It wasn't him. It was the Spirit. His words were like a knife or a sword cutting through Pharaoh. So Pharaoh had no chance. When God reveals something to you, you just know it. It's like when you fall in love, you just know it. How do you know you're in love? I don't know, but I just know it. Right? And so that's what Pharaoh is saying, and Pharaoh is standing in awe that this man says, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. The famine will destroy the land. Watch this. Genesis 41, 31. Don't put that on the screen. This famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having similar dreams, it means that these events have been decreed by God, and He will soon make them happen. How did Joseph know that? Spirit of God. Spiritual gift. When you have Holy Spirit living in you, you have the gifts of the Spirit that are recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are in 9 gifts of the Spirit. It all comes as a package. He hears the dream. He didn't have time to prepare. They dragged him from his cell. It's not like he had time to prepare. And that's why Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit of my Father living in you will give you the words to say. Some of you are like, I don't know how to evangelize. Let me prepare. Don't worry. You just make a step. You just tell somebody about Jesus. It will come through you because the Spirit of God is already in you. And that's what Joseph, he didn't have time. And so he gives him the word of knowledge. It's called the word of knowledge. How many of you know that God can give you the word of knowledge when you need it? I remember I was a young pastor, and a couple that was like 70 years old came to me for marriage counseling. And I was 24 years old or 25 years old. I was like, God, if you don't tell me what to do or tell them, I'm gonna ruin them. I don't know what I'm doing. And after I would leave many times, I would be so amazed, because I'm like, how did I come up with that? It had to be the Spirit of God, because I didn't train in that. Now I send people to the real professionals, but then I didn't know any better. So anyway, but God can give you the word of knowledge. So God gives him the word of knowledge. And here's where my message is about to start. Take the elevator. I know I got 14 minutes. That's plenty. That's a recap of what we learned in part one of Joseph. Okay, now we're going to the good life. All right, so here you are. You just gave. Imagine you are Joseph. You're standing before the president of the most powerful country in the world. The king, not just the president, has a lot more power. Actually, complete power. Whatever. You're standing before him. You just interpreted a dream, and you kind of gave him doom and gloom on his birthday. You said, yeah, there's going to be 7 good years, but those cows, skinny cows eating the fat cows, the whore part of it, the gory part of it, that's going to happen too. And so Pharaoh is in dismay. This didn't help. This didn't help ease his anxiety. He just freaked out more. Now it became real. It hit the fan now. Pharaoh is, what do I do? What would you do at that moment. You're standing before this man. You just interpreted his dream. You believe it's correct. Would you beg for him to release you from prison? Would you say, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. Please. Potiphar's wife, she lied. You know she lied. She lied. You know it's... Would you be focused on self and trying to leverage the gift of God for your own good? Would you leverage the gift of God for your own selfish needs? And their credible needs. You've been falsely accused. That's not what Joseph does. Joseph cares about Egypt. Joseph has compassion on Egypt. He doesn't just stop with the word of knowledge. You know what he does? And usually the word of knowledge comes with the word of wisdom. God doesn't just give you the word of knowledge to let you know something is going to happen without giving you a solution or a way out. Amen? God says, if I tell you what's going to happen, I'm going to show you how to get out of this. And so Joseph says, and watch this, guys. I want to read this to you and put this on the screen. 33. Here's his standing before the throne of Pharaoh. And he says, therefore, nobody asked him what his opinion of what they should do. Pharaoh has wise men around him. He has a lot of politicians around him. A Hebrew slave, uneducated, probably had an accent. Throw that one in. All right. Standing before him. Okay, you've done your job, buddy. Okay, just let the grown-ups do their rest. Word of knowledge comes usually with the word of wisdom. You want to know those spiritual, nine spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12. Study it at home, not right now. Therefore, he says, so as soon as he interprets the dream, while they're still like, oh my goodness, can this really be? Listen what he says. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Hold on. Who is he talking about? I don't think he's talking about him. I don't think he's talking about himself. I don't think he's thinking that way. He's uneducated. He's a slave. The best he could ask for is to get out of prison and go home to his brothers. But that's another can of worms. He's saying what the Spirit of God gives him wisdom. See, knowledge without wisdom is nothing. So you know there's going to be famine. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. That's why you need spirit of knowledge and you need a spirit of wisdom. And it's all already in you. It's a package deal. Nine gifts, they're already in you. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge. I don't think he's talking about himself. He's not thinking of himself. He's thinking somebody else. If he is talking about himself, he's arrogant here. Who does he think he is? I don't think so. That 13 years in prison and as a slave has broken him down. Listen to me. Before God can use a man, he'll break a man or a woman. Before God can use a woman, sometimes he'll break him so you can serve people not out of your pride but out of your weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. Next verse. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisor over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to the Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away and guard it so there will be food in the cities. How does he know this? Without thinking about it. Without praying about it. Without calculating. How do you know that? Spirit of wisdom. Knowledge is good, but knowledge without wisdom is half of the pie, half of the coin, half of the currency. It's not going to do anything. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, the famine will destroy the land. Next verse. Let's keep going. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. Usually politicians don't accept an idea so easily unless it's from the Spirit of God. Usually politicians don't accept an idea from slaves. They criticize everything. They're always fighting for their position and their ideas, and they're always threatened by somebody new, right? That's the politics thing. But Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. Watch this. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Notice Pharaoh realizes it. It's not this kid. There's something bigger. There's a Spirit of God that's in him. It's not him. It's the Spirit of God. Next verse. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. I got goosebumps, and I'm not even there. But imagine Joseph standing there. Do I just fall down, or what do I do, God? I mean, I just, 30 minutes ago, I was in prison, moaning and groaning about my life. And now I am, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of entire land of Egypt. That didn't even sunk in, I don't think. One moment, 30 minutes ago, a slave, a prisoner accused of crime, right now pardoned, standing and saying he's going to rule whole Egypt and he's going to be second in command. Keep going, next verse. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. Now, signet ring had significance. Signet ring represented authority. Okay, the society in democracy are congressmen and senators make laws and president signs it, right? In kingdom, kings, whatever king says is the law. But a signet ring is a final stamp. It's a seal. That's what makes the law the law. Whatever the Pharaoh says, then he puts a stamp on it. That's the law. He takes it off and gives it that authority. That power that comes with it, that authority that comes with it, he gives it to a kid. Well, not a kid anymore, but a 30-year-old Hebrew slave. And says, you're going to have that authority now. Whatever you stamp, whatever you say is going to go because the Spirit of God is inside of you. Whatever you say goes. Put it on his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Now, let me just tell you, what Pharaoh did to Joseph, God has done to us when we became believers. God has given us authority. Do you know that God has allowed you to use his own name, Jesus? And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now go. I'm giving you that authority. Watch that. What Pharaoh did for Joseph, God has done for us. Number two, what second thing Pharaoh did for Joseph, he put robes on him. Kingly clothing on him. He put robes with gold and diamonds in him. That's what Jesus done to us. He took our rags, okay, and he put robes of righteousness and garments of salvation upon us. And so in the spirit world, here's how you look. You look in a beautiful kingly robe. You know that as a child of God, you are kings and priests unto God. And your clothes represent it. In heaven, you will not wear a rag, okay, from Walmart. You know how in old movies they put bed sheets on people and then they shine lights up on them. And that's what the angels look like. Angels are dressed in beautiful clothing, robes. Huge. I saw a vision many years ago, and I saw Jesus in that vision. It was like a dream. And when Jesus came, that the robe was so tailored perfectly. The first thing I said to Tanya, I never thought of Jesus wearing like designer style robe. It was so good. It was like gold threads, but not too much. It was almost ivory. And then light was coming from everything. White light was coming from everything. And I saw it was perfect. It was perfect length. His beard was perfectly trimmed. And I never thought of Jesus like that. You know, you think of Jesus. You don't think about those things. And when I saw that in my dream, I was like, wow. So in the spirit, that's how you look. See, devil doesn't want you to know who you are. He wants to tell you that you're no good for nothing, sinner, dirty, and filthy. But if you made Jesus Christ, you're not just Savior, but Lord. He has put robes of righteousness upon you. In the Spirit, when God looks at you, when demons look at you, they see perfection. They see beauty. You are a chosen son or daughter of God. You are special. God is for you. Listen to me. And that's what Pharaoh does for Joseph. Then he gives him adornment, right? He gives him the gold medal or whatever. What? Yeah, some kind of a pendant. And that represents victory. In Olympics, when you have a gold medal put on your, what does that represent? You're number one. What did Jesus done? He conquered it all. He defeated grave and death. The greatest enemy, Bible says, is death. And he defeated death. And so he gives us that medal. He makes us a promise. He who believes in me shall never die but live forever. And then he says, even though he dies, he will live. Because nobody ever dies. Listen to me. Nobody ever dies. You will not die. Death is just transition. Meaning physically you will die, but you're not just physical. There's you inside of you, your mind, your emotions, your personality, and that will live forever. Where will it live? Heaven or hell? If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you will spend eternity with him. And then watch this. He gives him another thing. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. Imagine, he gave him the number two chariot. Not the Air Force One, but Air Force Two. He gives him, and that's what Jesus does. He gives us that authority, all right? And so wherever Joseph went, they would yell, kneel down for Joseph. And then he gives him something else. Watch, I'm just going to read it here, so don't put it on the screen. Verse 45. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name. That's also something that God gives us. I'll give you a new name in the book of Revelation, right? And here's what the name is, and I can't pronounce it. It's big. Zephnath-Paneah. Zephnath-Paneah. And here's what scholars believe that means. There's a debate about, but here's what scholars believe it means. And in your New Living Translation, there's a footnote, and here's what it says. His name means God speaks and lives. So when Joseph would be driven through Cairo or through whatever city, and they would say, kneel down for Zephnath-Paneah. That means kneel down for the God who speaks and lives. Kneel down before God who speaks and lives. That's what his name meant in their language. God speaks and lives. Imagine the name. And I hope Joseph wasn't thinking, I'm God now who speaks and lives. No, he wasn't. You know who he was thinking of? God speaks and lives. I'm just a carcass. I'm just a body, but God who lives in me. Man, I got so much more to say. We didn't even start the message. Joseph, when he's standing before Pharaoh and the door, here's the thing that I think Joseph recognized, the power of the moment. Joseph recognizes the power of the moment. He could have just interpreted the dream and hoped to be released, but he saw a moment. He recognizes that the elevator of destiny has opened in front of him. I call it the Kairos moment. There's a Kronos time and there's Kairos. Kronos is chronological. Kairos is that special moment that only happens once. You met that person once and that's it. Okay, it's just gonna happen once. For example, the train is coming. The doors are open in front of you. They're only open for a short period of time. You either jump in or you stay behind. I want to tell you a quick story. And I know I got to do it quick. About 4 years ago, Tanya bought me a ticket for my birthday to go skydiving. And I was excited. My birthday is in September. By the time I set up an appointment, it was the end of September. We went through a 7-hour class. And I was like, come on, when can we jump? I just want to jump, you know. But they're like, you need this. You need to know all this. So finally, as we were training, they said to us, listen, the weather might not be good. And if we don't jump today, you will have to go and take the course again next time before you can jump. You're going to have to take the course before you can jump again, even if it's like tomorrow. All right? We're like, no, I don't want to sit here. This is not something I'm planning to do with my life. I'm not going to become a skydiver, you know, every week. No, I just want to do this. This is one. Check it off my bucket list, you know, type thing. Off my bucket list. And so we go through the class. We practice on everything. And then finally, they tell us about 3:30 or something like that. We have a window. Who wants to jump? And we're all running, putting these big overalls on, you know, putting all these clothes on. And finally, they said, okay, who's ready to go? And guys are like, you go. And there's about 20 of us. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. I'm just going to jump on this plane. So they're like, who wants to go first? And they're like, no, you go first, you go first. I'll say, I'll go first. Okay, so they put me the last one. And then they seated us. There was no seats in this plane. It was like a tinfoil plane. It was so light. I couldn't believe how light this plane was. And so there was no seats, so they just cramped us in on the floor, and we were sitting like this. How many of you have been skydiving in Laverne, Minnesota? There you go. You know what I'm talking about. Right? And so they put me last, so I had to get out first. And there's this plank. You have to get out of the plane, walk the plank, holding onto the wing as you're flying 3,500 feet. Because we were jumping 3,500 feet. And then they tell you, jump! And then you just let go. That's all you do, off the wing. You just let go. And so I was the first one to jump. Then the second guy jumped. And I landed perfectly on the field where we're taking off from. So I didn't have to walk a long time. But by the time the second guy jumped, the wind picks up. By the time the fourth guy jumps, a lot more wind picks up. And by the time the seventh or sixth guys, whatever there was, jumps, the wind takes him so far north to that Walmart, I think, building or Shopko. I don't remember. Almost lands on the roof of the Shopko. And so they close skydiving that day. And all the other 14 or 13 guys missed the moment. They missed the moment. Well, the weather turns bad. It's October. So they many of them couldn't jump till I think a month or maybe even next year. Some of them never jumped again because they had to go through the class. See, sometimes God will open a moment. Well, Joseph, when he was standing before Pharaoh, he realized that the moment. Guys, the power of the moment, the chronos moment, recognize the moment. Do you know that God will give you moments in this life, Kairo moments? And you got to take those moments. Listen to me. If you're a musician, and you're waiting for your moment will come whenever you're not expecting. So you got to be always ready for the moment, Kairos moment. See, I like to think that life is like a staircase to a 100-story building. Life is like a staircase to a 100-story building. Anybody ever climbed a story staircase? Well, I grew up in a project, in poverty, and we lived in a five-story buildings. But my friends lived in 9-story buildings, and usually the elevator was out of service. It never worked. So guess what? You had to go up and down. And it's tough. By the time you get to the top, and I was 11 years old. So what if I was 50? It would be hard. And here it is. Life is like a staircase to a 100-story building. Sometimes God places an elevator and opens doors on the third floor, giving you opportunity to jump in and ride the rest of the way. Here's what Kairos moment is. God opens that door. It's that investment opportunity. It's that business opportunity. And it only opened. It might open again later, but it might never open again. And so if God gives you the moment, maybe you meet somebody famous and they want to hear you sing. Do you have a song that you have prepared that if somebody woke you up at night, in the middle of the night, and said, okay, sing before Adam Levine, Britney Spears, and Miley Cyrus. Here's your chance. Would you be ready? Oh, no, I need more practice. Well, the door will close. Here's what Joseph realized. He realized after he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, he realized there's a moment here and I have to jump in. And he didn't know all the answers. He didn't even know what he was talking about maybe. But he tapped in into the spirit and he began to say, here's what you should do, Pharaoh, and here's what you should do, and here's what you should do. Did they teach you that in prison? No, it's the God who is in me that teaches me. David says, I'm wiser than my teachers because I study the law of God. I have the spirit of God, and whenever I need it, I don't know how to be the king, David says, but God leads me. If I stay close to him, he will lead me and guide me. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in their way. Joseph understands the power of the moment. Listen to me, church. If God places you in front of an elevator, take the elevator. Jump into the elevator. If God puts an opportunity in front of you, jump in. I'm going to talk about how to be ready for the moment next week, but today I'm just going to say, ready or not, God, let me try it. Let me try it. Don't freak out. Don't fear. Jump in. Jesus had a moment for a guy. As Jesus was living on this earth, he came to a guy and says, follow me. And in Luke chapter 9, the guy says, let me bury my father and then I'll follow you. Isn't it like us? Here's the elevator. Jesus is giving you an opportunity to join him. Jesus is God on the earth. You understand? That opportunity doesn't happen again, ever. Not to that guy. And he says, hold on, I got a few things I got to finish, Jesus. And Jesus says, are you kidding me? I'm just giving you a moment here. This is a door that's going to close. If you don't walk in, somebody else will. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. You come and preach the gospel. The moment, Kairos moment. In John chapter 4, Jesus is sitting by the well. And he's thirsty. And a woman comes and he says, can you give me something to drink? And she turns that into a religious debate. He starts talking about where is the right place to worship, here or there, who is the right church, what denomination is right. And here's what Jesus said to her. Woman, you don't realize something. It's a moment. If you take the moment, your name will live in history. Actually, your name will live in eternity. Everybody, whoever reads the Bible, will read about woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And in eternity, you will know her by face, by name. He says, Jesus replies, if you only knew the door that's open in front of you. Watch this. That's pretty much what it says. If you only knew the elevator that's just open in front of you to the top. If you only knew the gift of God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And she says, I don't know what living water is, but I want it. And listen to me, when God opens the door in front of you, maybe you say, I don't know every detail and how it's going to work, but I'm going to jump in. If God gives me this opportunity, I'm going to take the opportunity and I'm not going to screw it up, because if God can entrust me with it, if God can give me the knowledge, he can give me the wisdom. If God can give me the opportunity, he will give me provision and wisdom of how to do this. Oftentimes it's when you're not looking. Joseph was sitting in prison and the door opened. And he said, you know what? I'm going to jump into the elevator. I think that's the kids telling me that it's time to hang it up. And I am. I want to ask you.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.